Welcome to Grace Believers Bible Study. How about going over to Psalms 118? Nathan went in there and said that's one of his favorites. Well, I'm going to tell you one of mine. It's verse 6. The Lord is on my side. Well, I'm telling you, He is. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? He can kill me and cuss me out and do anything he can. But I don't fear a man. Not for my soul. Know what? I'm sealed, locked up until the day of redemption. I have no fear about losing that. And if you're saved in here, you should not, I'm going to put that word in there, should not have any fear about losing your salvation. The Lord is on my side, and if you'll keep that in your remembrance, the Lord is on your side if you're saved. Matter of fact, the Lord is on your side even if you're lost in here. He's just waiting for you to trust Jesus Christ. So, you'll have the same peace and joy and understanding that we have. Before I get started, go on, and this is part of it, go over to Psalm 130. You know, sometimes you decide to do something on the way over here that has nothing in the past to do with what you're going to be talking about, but in essence it does. Before I read this, there is one other thing, and things just keep popping up. It's out of order, but I understand that. I've been reading a lot of books, and no, I don't sit and read one straight through. Because Richard loaned me one that's got 1,200 pages in it. That's pretty hard to sit down and read it all the way through at one time, okay? But I've been reading, and I want to make this very totally clear. It's for you, it's for me, it's for your edification. I've been reading a book. It's called The Book of Revelation by Peter Ruckman. And I read a lot of stuff by Peter Ruckman. Peter Ruckman is a brilliant man in a lot of his writings. But you better be able to discern before you ever start reading anything by Peter Ruckman. Because he goes off on a tangent. And, you know, what I'm trying to say is, when you read a book by Ruckman, and I know Brother Moore really had a lot of respect, Bible respect, for Peter Ruckman. But at the same time, you better be able to discern. Check every scripture. Check what you have been taught by Brother Moore, other grace preachers, myself, any teacher in here. Because if you don't, you're going to get bogged down. You're going to get confused again. And I'm not telling you not to read Ruckman's stuff, because he's got some good information that you can't find anywhere else. But then there's some of it you just want to chunk over to the side. But you've got to know. How are you going to know? It's by reading the Bible to begin with. And getting solidly into your doctrine, into your foundation of rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to be grounded so you won't be swept away. A lot of things that Ruckman preached, you can be swept away. Because he's good at what he does. Or he wouldn't be like 86, 88 years old running a college and still in control of it. He's powerful, and he has got the respect of most any and everybody who's been in the King James Bible, whether their doctrine is correct or not. They use him as a reference, a hard line reference. So just be aware of what I'm telling you. Read what you may, but always check them out, because you can be easily swayed. Now, with enough said, I want to read Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Have you ever cried unto the Lord? I did. Save me, Lord. I said, I'm going to hell. Send somebody to me that can tell me the truth. But I didn't see anybody. Not until 1984 when I started watching Brother Moore. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive. Please hear me. To the voice of my supplications, my requests, my ask, my prayers. If you, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. And that's a biggie, because we're going to be talking about forgiveness of all sins today. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared, loved, reverenced. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. It's a no-so. It's a hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. And so I want to stop it at that point in time. I want to tell you about forgiveness of sins. Just that term. Forgiveness of sins is mentioned 7 times in the book, but 5 times in the New Testament. 4 of those are in Paul's epistles. Now, forgiveness is different. I'm talking about forgiveness of sins. And I'm surprised Gilbert's not Googling that over here while I'm talking, because he usually checks the number out. But that's okay. The fact of it is, forgiveness of sins. How about going to Colossians, if you would, chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We'll go to verse 13. And you, Paul writes, being dead in your sins to these Colossians, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Well, there's 2 things that we need to learn from this verse. First off, saints. That's a saint is someone who has trusted the Lord as their personal Savior. Now, we can move on to the same statement here. It says, saints have been, that's past tense, forgiven. Look at the scripture again. Having forgiven you. It's past tense. It's a done deal. You were forgiven right here at Calvary in A.D. 33. Having forgiven. Past tense. And another thing out of this one verse is there's forgiveness. For what? All sins. All sins. The moment that we trusted, I'm going to use believe here a lot today, probably. So I'm meaning trusting when I'm telling you believed here, okay? Because you can believe something and not trust it. It was hell wide open. But in the context that I'm going to be using the word believe, I mean trust, just in case I've omitted it. But the moment we trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God imparted forgiveness to His saints. I just happen to be one of those saints. But there's something that the denominational systems don't recognize or won't come to the truth about, is that saints never ever need to be forgiven again. It's already happened here. What do they want you to walk the aisle and rededicate your life? You backslid and lost it. No, you didn't. You're just not walking the way the Lord would have you. You're out of His will. But the fact of it is, you're still saved. Now, I want to say something here that some of us may have a little disagreement. I don't think so, but we might. How is an individual saved? I'm going to continue this forgiveness. You're saved by the gospel. The gospel is good news. There's more than one gospel now, but there's not another gospel whereby you are saved like the gospel of the circumcision. You can't be saved to that, with that, or by that in this dispensation. If you were had all the money in the world and you had the Pope blessing you and all those kind of things, it just can't happen. It's not written to you. But it was good news at a point. When Peter was preaching it, it was good news to those Jews. No doubt about it. Repent and be baptized for remission of sins was a very valid thing. Repent. Change your mind about who the Messiah was. He is the Messiah, the man you crucified over in Acts chapter 2. And be water baptized. You had to be. That's the gospel to those people. That's not the gospel to us. You are saved by a gospel. It's called my gospel. It's called the gospel of Christ. It's called the gospel of the grace of God. And the glorious gospel. But it's the one and the same now to us. When there's no Jew and Greek and no bond and no free, no male or female in the body of Christ, that gospel goes out. We're all saved. Now, I will tell you this. The blood is in the gospel. The blood is in the gospel. The shed blood of Jesus Christ is in the crucifixion of Christ. Crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead on the third day. That's the gospel. That's the good news to you. But now, let's move forward. Because we're talking about forgiveness of sins. Christ's sacrifice did not leave one sin unpaid for. This word all. That's inclusive of everything. Contrary to the denominational systems, you know, you weren't just, your sins weren't just paid for. If you were born here and you supposedly claim Christ here, you heard that word I said, supposedly. Born here, supposedly claim Christ here, but these were paid for. But these over here that you got saved today, those tomorrow, they're not paid for. You've got to ask for forgiveness under Peter's gospel. We know that's not true. Because all the past, all the present, and all the, which was today, and all the future, the ones tomorrow, they were all covered right here. That word all, it means a lot, that little three-letter, all. So, the denominational systems try to tell you, well, no, that's not true. It's just for these past sins. No, it's not. It's for every sin. All sins. How about going to Ephesians chapter 1? We'll go to verse 7. So remember, we just went over to Colossians 2:13 and we saw past. But in Ephesians 1:7 it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins. Now, according to the riches of His grace, God tells us that we have, that's right now, that's present tense. Let's read it again. In whom we have redemption. That's now. That's presently. So how can they miss that? I don't know. We've got present tense forgiveness of all sins. We have His forgiveness. And it's according to something. It's according to the riches of His grace. That's God's grace. The words according to tells us how something is to happen or to occur. It's according to His grace. The riches of His grace. That's God's grace. What's that song? God's grace. God's grace. That's who it is. It's through Jesus Christ, but it's God's grace. Unmerited favor. Where do you find the grace of God? Where do you find the riches of God's grace? In the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Only place you can find it. No matter how intelligent you are, or if you read on the first grade level, they don't care. The Lord doesn't care about your education. Like I told you once before, my mom, I was witnessing to her. She was saved. She just didn't know anything else about the Bible. She was just jumbled up. But she trusted Jesus Christ. I know you can be saved not knowing anything else. And you can. But just like Nathan said, we've got to come into the knowledge of the truth so we can share and teach and preach and be an ambassador to others. My mom just said, son, I don't know how old she was at that point, probably 80, maybe. She finally come around. She said, well, look, I don't have the education you've got. Oh, it upset me. Not make me mad, hurt my feelings. She said, I don't understand the Bible like you do. I said, Mama, you ain't got to have any education. All you got to do is trust in the Lord and what He said. That's all you got to do. So education, I'm going to tell you, for anybody in here, has not one thing to do with your salvation. Nothing. All you've got to do is find a preacher or a teacher, somebody that can tell you the truth out of this scripture if you can't read or write. There's still people in this world who cannot read or write. Did you know that? In America, I knew a guy that couldn't read or write. Matter of fact, I married his daughter, not Carol. But I married his daughter. He was a great man, worked every day. Couldn't read or write. I knew another guy that was in grammar school with me. His name was Hayward Floyd. Well, we've got along good. Hayward quit school about the seventh grade. But you know what? He had prettier handwriting than, and his daddy couldn't read or write. He had prettier handwriting than anybody in this room. It was just perfect. I never understood that. I was always so jealous of this man's handwriting. Sixth and seventh grade, it was perfect. The teachers were just amazed. But that's what happens. But you know what? You don't have to understand the Bible to get saved. You just got to trust the words that are written on these pages. In other words, what you're doing, you're trusting the Holy Spirit. That's all you got to do. Trust Jesus Christ. Trust God that He sent the Spirit to write this. And He give these words to sinful men, such as you. But again, I do want to emphasize this. People who think that you've got to be college educated, you've got to have a PhD coming from a seminary. You don't. Don't think less of yourself because, well, I might not understand it the way Ruckman does or somebody else does. Tim LaHaye, Tommy Ice, all those people. Because I can tell you right now, not even knowing your educational levels or where you come from, that you understand right now the Bible better than Joel Osteen and a lot of those television ministers. They say what they want. And it's a person like Joyce Myers who will get out there and go contrary to the Scriptures. Contrary to the Scriptures. You can understand those Scriptures if you've trusted Jesus Christ a lot better than anybody of those can. Ain't that something? Don't let their educational level, their status in life, throw you a curve and say, no, I just don't have it. I have a hard time understanding these scriptures. No, trust the Lord and you'll understand them. That's what I'm going to tell you. But we're talking about Ephesians 1:7. You know, God forgives according to something, to the riches of His grace. Grace and His riches are found in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You know, because His blood accomplished something. It accomplished the full and complete payment for your sins. Not one of them undone. The full, complete payment for your sins. Go to Romans chapter 5, would you? I liked what Nathan said about meditating. If you don't meditate, now we've got our various opinions of what meditate means. What I call mine meditating is I'm driving down the road. What keeps you from praying as you drive down the road? What keeps you from praying when you wake up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom? You don't have to have an open prayer at your meal as long as you thank the Lord for it prior to. It can be silent. See, I don't like necessarily outward prayer all the time. Because it's a one-on-one between me and my Father. That's what it is. I don't pray as the Pharisees do, to be heard by men. I want one to hear me, not a multitude. I have no problem with praying for someone. But prayer, silent prayer, meditation, what's going to keep you from that? These guys that are still in high school can do that. It's against the law for them to do it openly in school. They can't even carry a Bible and let it be seen in school, really. But you can pray in school and nobody will ever know except you and your Father. If you have a Father. If you're a saint of God. So, I liked when he brought that up because I really could identify with this meditation. That's what I call it. Prayer. Silent prayer for me is meditation. You may have your own definition for meditation. Okay. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, so let's read 19. For as by one man's disobedience, and we know that's Adam, Many were made sinners. Many, in this case, is all. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And that's the obedience of Jesus Christ to God the Father in your behalf. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's what it says. The riches of God's grace are greater than any debts that sin can take you. And you say, well, I've murdered somebody. I've done the worst horrible things. I've even blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Well, His grace much more abounds. But look here. The word is, let's look at it again. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He didn't just say grace more abounded. It's much more abounded. Saints, that's you if you're saved in here. You should have the confidence, complete confidence, in the riches of the grace of God to be more than sufficient to pay for all your sins. Do you have that confidence? Do you have the confidence that you were forgiven? This word right here, all. Now, see, I personally believe this, that if an individual in here or anywhere else tells me that they've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they feel like that He didn't die for all their sins, I don't believe they're saved. They never trusted the Lord. Because if they had, they'd have realized they're sinless. The Lord died for them all in AD 33. Did He die for 99.9% of them? No. If you think that you've got a sin out there that He didn't die for, or that one that you can commit that can keep you from going to heaven, then you really haven't trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, have you? He did it all. Am I wrong? I don't think so. Go to Ephesians 4. Now, we covered this last week, but I have some additional things that I want to go to. Ephesians 4. Verse 32, if I can get myself there. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another. Would you do that? Don't do it for me. Do it for the Lord. Be you kind one to another. But when you do it for the Lord, you know what? It makes your life a lot simpler. You don't carry the anger and the baggage with you. If you're angry with someone, get with them on a one-on-one, talk to them about it, and let it go. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. If someone in here has hurt your feelings, or if I've hurt your feelings, I'm going to apologize to you. I surely didn't mean to. I have nothing against anybody in here. Not one thing. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That word hath is what? Past tense. So we're done, guys. The Lord done forgive you. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. I'm telling you, this is all past tense. He's done forgiven you. But you got to see what the Scripture said. It said God forgives for Christ's sake. It's for Christ's sake, on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ sent Jesus Christ to Calvary. He suffered all the agony, the humiliation, and the penalty for every sin that your wicked mind can conjure up or your vile body can commit. He knew every one of them, every thought, and this is beyond human comprehension. You just have to trust the Scriptures, because the only thing that you know about God is written in this book, and you've got it from nobody else. Not one iota, not one jot, not one tittle. It all came out of this book right here. You don't know anything about God except out of here. Now, so the penalty for your sin was paid. Every one of them, no matter how vile or anything. It was Christ who sweat great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying to the Father. It was Christ. It wasn't you. It was Christ who willingly laid down his life to pay for your sins. Knowing how despicable the human race really is, he did it for you. He did it on behalf. God did it on behalf of Jesus Christ, for Christ's sake. It was Christ who was forsaken, not you. You might be thinking you're forsaken sometimes when you've lost your loved one, or whenever your boyfriend runs off with another gal, or you've lost all your bank account. I've been forsaken. But you haven't been forsaken by the only one that counts. Life here is temporal. You're just down here for a small time, a little journey. No, this is nothing here. I call it a training ground to see how you're going to act whenever you get where you're going. But it was Christ who was forsaken by God the Father. I think he was forsaken at 12 o'clock noon when the whole world turned dark. We were in darkness. Sin abounded there. At 3 o'clock, light came back. And he said, "It is finished," as the earthquake rumbled. So, but he became sin. He has satisfied the judgment of a holy God. That's what he did. And he did it for you and you and me. Every individual person in here. It's left up to you to trust Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Full payment for sin. He cried victory. He didn't say it outwardly. He said it is finished. That's a victory. It is finished. He put him through, and I'm going to use the word, hell. God put Jesus Christ through the wringer. For you. For you. God wants us to come to him through faith. Believing something. That he will save us from all sin. I could tell you before, if a person doesn't trust that Jesus Christ paid for all of them, I do not believe he or she is saved. There's a lot of perversions being taught out here. You got to get it right. It's very simple. Christ died for my sins. I trust that. I believe that. And he was resurrected on the third day by the Scriptures. Yeah. Is there anything you believe that you can do to send yourself to hell? No. Well, then you're saved. How are you saved? Because you have faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ that he shed at Calvary for you. Because the blood was sinless, and life is in the blood. How about going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? You know, you've heard about the greatest trade ever, huh? And some people think that was when Babe Ruth was traded from Boston to New York Yankees. The greatest trade ever made. Pretty dangerous. But they're wrong. Sometimes you hear in professional sports, this guy was traded for $30 million to this other football team. That ain't a great trade. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. Can you just stop there and just think how that is? You're the sinner. You're the sinful person. You deserve death. You deserve hell. You deserve the lake of fire. You don't deserve any kind of admonition that's good for your sake. But God made him to be sin for us, the just for the unjust, the sinless Son of God, went in there, God manifest in the flesh, and became your sin. It just blows my mind. And some people say, well, William Shakespeare wrote this, or men wrote this, natural men. No, they didn't. no way could anybody conjure up something of this nature. This is far beyond this universe. And we human beings are even having a hard time just understanding it, let alone writing something like this. No matter if you're intellectual Pulitzer Prize writing skills. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's the righteousness of God that we are made by the blood of Jesus Christ and his death on Calvary at the cross. The righteousness of God. That's the ultimate righteousness. Cleared of sin. That's the best trade that has ever been for humankind. We all have a ransoming substitute, and that's Jesus Christ. He took our sins. That's what he did. I keep emphasizing it. And what did God give us? He gave us his righteousness in return. The scripture said, for God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's us. He did not put the trespasses that you have committed. He didn't keep them on your back. He didn't make you go and pay the penalty. Jesus Christ paid the penalty. I think sometimes we forget that. You know what I'm saying? What's forgiveness? Being cleansed or purged from unrighteousness. Or have you been cleansed? Purged? Forgiven? I have. But I'm still probably the worst sinner in this building. But I've got everlasting life. Eternal life. It can't get any better than that. It's kind of like Gilbert one day said, I'm ready to go. I just don't want to be on the next busload. But the fact of it is, that's my human nature. There's things that I want to do for the Lord that I'm not doing. Sometimes I want to preach 6 days a week. That's pretty rough to think about that. But it gets to the point where it is beginning to encompass your whole life. You realize whenever you are Gabe's age up here, 18, 19 years old, you've got a whole life ahead of you now. When you get 45, 50, you start moving along, you realize your days are getting numbered. And there's things that you haven't done for the Lord. Maybe you didn't get saved till you're 35, 36 years old. What have you done if you're 45 in the next 10 years? What do you plan on doing for the next 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? What if you actually live to be 90 years old, which is wonderful, or 100? What are you going to do for the Lord? Are you going to just quit, roll over, lie down? No, that's not what it's about. Somebody asked me the other day, when are you going to retire? I ain't. I'm going to drop dead is what's going to happen. You don't retire if your mind is still fully functional for the Lord. Brother Norman kept witnessing after he got dementia. He kept witnessing, asking people, were they saved? Do you even do that with a fully comprehensible mind? Now, he was our example. Paul's the example. But he took it and run with it. Brother Morty. Shouldn't you? He's our example. We weren't here when Paul was. We've got the scriptures. And we had a man of God who was Brother Moore, who taught us the truth. Listen, Paul was the first and he is the pattern. That's what he used. That's what we're supposed to do. Pick it up and run with it. Don't let nothing slow you down. Don't let that train ahead of you up there slow you down. The Lord will move that locomotive out of your way. I promise that He will. Now, in the dispensation of the grace of God, forgiveness, listen to me, that's what we're talking about. Forgiveness is not dependent on the sinner's sacrifice. Not dependent upon the sinner's sorrow. Oh, you can be sorrowful, but it's not. It doesn't even depend upon your confession. No, it does not. But it's an accomplished fact of grace. You heard that word, fact. It's a fact. Grace, unmerited favor. It's an accomplished fact of grace. Jesus Christ was the sin bearer for every person in here. He hath forgiven you. Hath, past tense. Done deal. Forgiveness is not the result of somebody in here, and I've watched in other denominational churches, and I actually did it myself, pleading, begging the Lord, saying I'm sorry. But it's by faith alone. You can say you're sorry all day long, and you're probably true about it. The Lord wants to hear that, but it ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. It's by faith alone. What is faith? The evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. Hebrews 11, 1, I think. But that's what we're talking about. You haven't seen God. You haven't seen Jesus Christ. But you've read His Word. If you haven't even read it, you've heard it here today. You don't get second chances a lot of times. What's our part in all of this? Trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Believing He was crucified here in AD 33. That He was buried. We're identified in His death. Judicially. Then He was resurrected from the dead. And it's through His, in the crucifixion, it's through His shed blood that you're saved. That's what we're supposed to believe. That's our part. Trust it. You've got to trust it. Other than that, you're going to hell. I mean, you can say and this over and over again. Brother Moore did it over for 50 years, and people still walked out of the building, lost, doomed, and damned, going to bust hell wide open. He did it. All these other grace preachers do it. In a lot of cases where you witnessed to people, you told them the truth, even though they didn't get the full depth of it, they're still going to walk out and bust hell open. They don't want no part of it. I don't want to be a Bible thumper. Well, I do. I want to be a Bible believer, a Bible truster. Christ said, "It is finished." He got victory over death. Because He is a risen Lord and Savior. He is a risen owner of you. When Nathan was talking about you don't add anything and take away things from the Scripture, I was thinking about it. Christ, His sacrifice was perfect. But whenever you do anything to add or take away, you're diminishing, you're subtracting from His atoning death at Calvary. Anytime you add or subtract something from the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. And I guarantee you, there's pastors out here all over the place that's doing it because they want to impress you. They want you to think that they've been delivered a special message from God to tell you. God doesn't come down and whisper in my ear or Pat's ear or anybody else's ear to tell me what to do. He gave me a book so I could read it. People who can't read, blind people get saved. Whether they've ever read it through Braille or what, they get saved on a daily basis. So it goes to show you, if you've got eyesight, you've got an advantage already, don't you think? But no, it's the Holy Spirit that convinces you that you're a despicable human being, that you need a Savior. Some of us don't listen very fast. It takes years. I praise the Lord that He didn't give up on me. But He should have, honestly. I mean, my gosh, I just denied Him and I kicked Him away on the side. I just didn't want to go to hell is what it was. But I said, I couldn't find anybody to tell me how to stay out of hell. And then when I found out that it was a perfect sacrifice made for me, I didn't understand everything. I was like Nathan was talking about. I was coming into the knowledge of the truth. But I found the truth, the simplicity of the gospel. We can do that. Christ crucified buried and raised again. He paid for all my sins. Come on, again, not really. I'd always believed that he did that for somebody. I just couldn't believe it was for me. But it was. His atoning death, his ransoming substitute for me. The just for the unjust. Everybody in here at one point in time was unjust. But now, you have, if you're saved in here, if you are a saint, not an ain't, then you are a saved son of God. An adopted son of God. A joint heir with Christ. How much better could it get if you just believe and trust what the Word says? People, it's just they don't want to pay attention to this. Now, I'm about through. There's people out there, and you're going to know who it is, because I tell you. They expect a confession so they can see your salvation. You can't see salvation. They expect purgatory to complete their forgiveness. The forgiveness is based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. It is finished. Now, if you want scripture, and we'll call it a day, Galatians 1. I want to start in verse 3. Grace be to you. That's to the Galatians, but that's also to all of us. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father. Grace, unmerited favor to you guys. And peace from the highest Almighty there is, the only true God. And peace from God the Father. And from our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus Christ did for you and me, who gave Himself for our sins. And there's a reason. That He might deliver us, that's Jesus Christ, from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. It's a done deal. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't walk out of here without it, no matter what age you are. And if you've trusted Christ today, then tell somebody about it. We just want to welcome you into the body of Christ.